Shed Some Light, episode 250. 250 coming to you on a Tuesday. We're a quarter of the way to 1,000 episodes.
Clap it up, everybody.
And man, this show is going to be sweet.
Yeah, compared to all the other ones that aren't sweet.
I mean, I don't really know. I don't have a whole bunch of notes to talk about
today. I got a lot to talk about.
I'm just shooting from the hip. Do you want to talk life first? Because we missed a week in recording with some travel plans. Or do you want to talk sports first?
Let's talk sports.
Okay. Rest in peace to the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for giving me Pac-12 After Dark.
Yeah.
I hope.
I mean, I think there's still going to be late. I mean, there's going to be late games.
Yeah. It's just not going to be the same.
Yeah. It's not going to be two teams slinging it left and right, playing absolutely fuck all defense.
Random West Coast teams that you only hear of like twice a year.
Yeah.
Just being like, yeah, what are you doing 10:30 on a Saturday night watching that game?
I'm watching Washington State versus like BYU or some shit like that. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
They're my favorite, though, because it's such like a, I guess, calming nightcap, because Saturdays in the fall are just hectic. Like, you got to get up and you got to have your routine, and then you go tailgating and then you watch your team play. And then at the end of the night, it's just like, I still want to keep watching football, but I don't care about any of these teams that are playing.
Yes.
So that's why it's so peaceful.
It wouldn't be the same if you did like a Big Ten After Dark, because like, I don't want to watch 9 punts in a row at 10:30 at night. Like, I want to watch the most amount of points I can possibly see be scored. And that's why the Pac-12 is the best.
There's for the After Dark mixed into the entertainment.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Just no fucking defense. Just like, how many points can we score? Let's see what dumb plays. I feel like there's like one trick play per Pac-12 After Dark game. Like, there's a flea flicker, there's a fake punt, there's like an end around.
It may average out to that come season.
Yeah. End. Yeah. And you're like, that like revitalizes you at like, you know, you're sitting there, it's like 11:15, they run a fake punt, you're like, oh, there we go.
Every once in a while, you get the Hawaii game mixed in too.
The Rainbow Warriors, baby.
Then you're just like locked and loaded. Because you think about it, I don't regret going to Notre Dame, but like, if you could just have like basically a 4-year vacation,
go to Hawaii
and just go to school in Hawaii,
pretty sick.
Now, granted, post college, I don't know what the Hawaii alumni network really looks like, but still,
during college would be kind of sick.
Yeah. Also, I guess the SEC on CBS with the most elite college football theme song is no longer a thing anymore.
Oh, why not?
I guess the SEC is moving to a different network.
Fuck,
I know. It was a kind of an emotional end to the college football season. Granted, we do have bowls coming up, but...
Well, the real one that I want to give the RIP to, the real one that counts, RIP to the Big Ten West. You guys stink beyond belief, but god damn it, was it funny to make fun of you guys.
See, that's one that I can... that I celebrate its death.
It's, hate to see it go, love to watch it leave type of thing, you know what I'm saying? Like,
fair enough.
There's nothing better than, like... Oh, who's playing today? Iowa versus Northwestern. Let me check what's happened in this game. Punt, 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 fumble, punt, punt, interception, punt, field goal, punt, 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 touchdown. It's like, god damn it, baby. That's what I'm talking about. That is the Big Ten West.
Getting into some more Big Ten football, I mean, the under hit on Iowa's total points against Michigan in the Big Ten championship.
Yep.
Zero.
That sucks.
And the fact that they represented half the division as
that's insane. Yeah, that's
their conference winner. Get out of town.
That's nuts.
Terrible. We got the playoff bracket set. We got bowl games set.
Speaking of the playoff bracket, do we want to talk the controversy? I mean, everybody's talked about it, but
yeah, Florida.
Okay,
State.
So I would like to get your opinion on this, because I have a very like. I'm not going to move from my opinion, and I don't really think you can convince me otherwise. So I want to see if you have the same opinion as me or a different opinion.
Okay. So what's my opinion about Florida State?
Yeah. Who do you think should have gotten the 4 seed?
So it is very unfortunate to have to punish a Florida State team because they don't have Jordan Travis. But without Jordan Travis, I don't think that they're a playoff-worthy team.
Okay, so very similar to my opinion. And I would have even said with their regular backup quarterback, they were. But they were down to their third string in the ACC championship.
Right.
So my takeaway with that from that is Florida State deserved to be in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. From what they did in the regular season. They went undefeated. They beat two SEC schools. They played in the Power 5 conference. They won the Power 5 championship. They deserve to be in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They are not one of the four best teams in college football.
Correct.
So that is where the, like, I understand. Like, if I was a Florida State fan, I'm heated beyond belief.
Yeah, I believe either them or the state of Florida is
suing. Yeah, which is like, I get that. However, I do think the committee got it right if you are trying to put the four best teams in college football in the playoffs.
No.
You don't think they did?
I still, like, taking all Notre Dame biases out of this, do not believe that Michigan is one of the four best teams.
I agree.
I would have kept this exact same bracket. I would have had to change the seeds, but I do not think that Michigan is one of the four best teams, and I do think that Georgia is.
I would agree with that, but like, I think with the quality of wins Michigan has had, I don't think you can keep them out.
Yeah.
Where, like, I feel like LSU's, like, bulk of their win, or Florida State, sorry, bulk of their wins was beginning of the season, and then the second half of the season, like, they really didn't play anybody that was that good. Whereas, like, Michigan's at least was flipped. Like, the bulk of their wins, the good wins, were at the end of the season. So, like, you can at least justify it, I guess, that way.
So, I did my own research here.
Oh, did you now?
And if you take Iowa, so the Big Ten Championship, off of Michigan's schedule, the total record of the teams that they faced was 73-74. A game under 500.
Yeah.
And I don't understand, because there's a lot of
people. And if
you would
have taken Ohio State off that schedule too, it's way under 500.
Right. I don't. There's a lot of people saying that Michigan had a great strength of record.
No.
73-74? Now, just to put that into perspective, Notre Dame's total record for teams, again, not counting Oregon State for the bowl game, 78-64.
Yeah.
14 games over 500.
Yeah. So, now, like I said, and this is the other reason why I'm happy that Bama made it in, because I have never been more of a fucking Alabama fan than this first game. Roll damn Tide all day.
Oh.
Tommy Rees, shove it down Michigan's fucking throat. Let's go. I'm Roll Tide till I die. In the semis.
Michigan's in reaction to so drawing funny. Alabama.
So goddamn funny.
They're already trembling in their boots.
And like, but like, okay, so this is where one where like, I don't want to like, I'm not trying to defend Michigan by any means. But yeah, dude, I'm gonna react the same way. If you're like, there's a 50-50 chance you're gonna play Florida State or Alabama right now, like, who do you want to pick? I'm
right.
Like, Florida State by a fucking mile.
Obviously.
So like, I might have not reacted the same way, where like, you could hear the audible like, oh, fuck, from the Michigan players. Like, I would have been like, damn, wish we would have played Florida State. But right. Like, I don't know. It was tough to hear the audible like, oh,
groan.
Like, oh.
So yeah, definitely rooting for Alabama in the semifinals.
Roll Tide.
Other side of the bracket.
Washington till I die.
I'm picking Washington, but I really don't care. And it's whoever wins that game is who I'm rooting for. 100%.
Washington till I die. Shout to Michael Penix. I know we had a debate in like a big group chat with a bunch of IU people being like, I'm not, like, there were people being like, I'm not rooting for Michael Penix. It's like, dude, what the fuck do you mean? Like, we fucking ruined him.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, I am 100% rooting for Michael Penix. Good for you for going out and fucking doing your own thing and leading a team to the college football playoff. I am rooting for you beyond belief. I think you should have been the one seed, but I am glad that you are the two seed.
Right.
Because I don't want you to play Alabama in the first round. Play Texas, beat Texas, and fucking play Alabama in the national title.
Being from the Midwest, I feel like Texas and Washington are two like somewhat random schools, and I actually know people very well that are big fans of both of those schools.
Texas, I will say, surprised me a lot in the Big 12 title game.
Yeah.
I was like, damn. Like, they took care of business hard in the mm-hmm. Big 12 title game. I was like, holy shit. But go Washington. Go Michael Penix.
Other bowl game-wise, Notre Dame to the Sun Bowl and the
Transfer Bowl.
The great city of El Paso, Texas. No one's really playing.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like a glorified spring game.
I was about to say, this is a blue goal game. If I'm Freeman, too, I might go quarter to quarter. I might switch to Steve Angeli and Kenny Minchie back and forth. Just say, fuck it. Like, what do you got to lose? I mean, Notre Dame football tweeted the dancing banana, which means you know what time it is. It's peanut butter jelly time. This is the first one. I'll eat my own words. If he fucking dominates this game, I'll eat my own words. And be like, okay, he didn't play against glorified walk-ons, regardless of who's there.
I'm just going to put this into the universe right now. The day that you're listening to this, Riley Leonard has made his official transfer portal announcement.
Yes.
I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean, if we want to talk about transfers, 3 confirmed?
Yeah.
It is Ryan Clark's son, Jordan Clark. What's his name?
I thought it was Isaiah.
Whatever. Something Clark.
From Arizona State.
DB. I'll take DB Depp anytime you can.
Yep.
Chris Mitchell.
Yep.
From FIU.
Wide receiver.
Who I feel like is kind of, like, not really, but also, like, kind of going overlooked because he's from FIU. He's a fucking stud.
Yeah, for sure.
And then Bo Collins from
Clemson.
Which, first of all, Bo Collins, one, just a great wide receiver name.
Oh, yeah.
Two, I saw a tweet about him today that was, like, I feel like extremely accurate. It was, like, losing Tobias and adding Bo Collins is basically just adding Tobias back to the roster.
I mean, here's what your wide receiver room is currently looking like going into 2024. Chris Mitchell, Bo Collins, Jaden Greathouse, Jordan Faison, Jaden Thomas, Deion Colsey, Caleb Smith. And then you got coming in Cam Williams, Micah Gilbert, and Logan. I don't know if it's
Saldante. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Cam Williams could be a fucking stud.
I do too.
Like, I think he'll start next year.
Maybe.
If he's as good as everybody says he is, I think he will start next year. Plus, CJ,
we got
CJ
a new
Carr,
wide receiver coach.
True. Who's just gonna be being thrown right into the fire.
Yeah.
Got hired what was it, December 10th?
Something around there, officially.
And he is coaching in the bowl game. So basically 2 weeks. And
Mike,
like,
Brown,
fuck
dude.
It. Here Mike you go. I wonder if that has something to do with a lot of the people committing. Him being like, hey, here's what we can do, and like the wide receivers being like, dude, yeah, like in the first couple of days he's already made an impact or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you see that CJ Carr is practicing with the team
mm-hmm.
for the bowl game?
Mm-hmm.
Love that. I'll take it. I also love that in the sense of, like, I know Sam Hartman's not playing, but that, like, Sam Hartman can coach CJ Carr.
Right.
Which
small
I love.
Small bit of mentorship.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's the Transfer Bowl, so we'll see what happens.
I know Notre Dame opened up as a favorite.
This is one where, like, obviously I want Notre Dame to win, but, like, if they lose, I'm like, dude, I fucking, who cares?
Right, right. You can spin it either way. If they win, you're like, dude, we won
with our
all
fucking
people transferred.
I mean, we're going to have basically an entire offensive line that's new.
Pretty much.
You have what? One person?
Depending on what Joe Alt does.
I mean, Joe Alt's not going to play. For sure. If he plays, that, like, respect that he, like, I'm fucking for Notre Dame, but also, like, you're an idiot. Because, like, you're going to go top 5 in the draft, so just don't fuck it up.
Right.
You're going to have an entire new offensive line, a new starting quarterback. Running backs have played before, but Audric's not going to play.
Yeah.
You have, like, 3 scholarship wide receivers. Eli Raritan has played, has started three games at tight end. Like, your entire offense is going to be fucking new, basically. Defense-wise, Cam Hart, I'm assuming, is not going to play. He hasn't made it official yet, but I would assume he's not.
I doubt that he would, yeah.
Marist is not playing. Has JD said anything?
Not to my knowledge.
Howard Cross coming back, can I be honest with you? That's a wild move.
I mean, I'm obviously not going to complain.
I'm not going to complain about it at all, but, like, you're second team All-American.
Yeah.
And you're coming back for your sixth year. I don't really know how much better you can get.
There's also rumors floating around that we're going to get, like, a pretty solid name for JJB's replacement at a DN position.
The kid from Duke, I know, is, like, one of the guys who transferred, because I think Riley's going to try and bring him in if Riley ends up committing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'll take fucking... Again, we said it on the last podcast, too, where, like, I can't actually tell you how good this team is going to be next year until, like, the spring game of next year when everybody's on campus.
And that's what I said. I think it was last episode, maybe two episodes ago. I'm just ready to kind of hibernate for a couple months and then wake up when spring football starts just to see who's on the team.
Yeah. Like before, I don't think we've recorded one since, like, no, I feel like Notre Dame was, like, the first domino where, like, everybody on Notre Dame was, like, transferring, and I was like, holy fuck, the world is falling down.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, like, after that, we didn't record an episode until now. And since then, it's been, like, every time I refresh Twitter, there's 9 new people in the transfer portal, and I'm like, oh, so this is just every team ever. Okay, we're fine then.
And maybe that plays into my kind of mentality throughout this whole process. Like, it sucks that all of these kids are leaving, but, like, it really hasn't stressed me out.
Or, like, it did, like, for me at least, like, the 2 days where it was, like, just Notre Dame kids that I thought that I was hearing, and I was like, oh, shit, dude, like, our entire team is fucking gone. Like, what are we gonna do?
Yeah.
And then, like, within the next, like, 3 days, it was like, oh, everybody's entire team is gone.
Yeah.
I think it was Kyle McCord leaving or entering the transfer portal. I was like, oh, everybody's fucked.
And you know who they're going to replace him with?
Cam Ward.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck, dude. I love Riley Leonard, hopefully, if he comes, because I did talk shit on him last year. Fuck you. But also, if you come here, I love you. But I wanted Cam Ward more than anything in the entire world.
Yeah.
But, like, I think his top three schools were Ohio State, USC, and Miami. Like, go to fucking Miami, dude, please.
Right.
I'd rather you go to Miami than Ohio State. If I had to rank them, Miami, Ohio State, USC.
Yep, for sure.
But I love that USC is thrown in there because Caleb Williams is fucking gone, and I hope he does shitty in the NFL, you bitch. Fuck you, Caleb Williams.
And just to make sure that I'm still clear on this, you're not going to be a Bears fan if Caleb Williams is on the Bears, but you're still going to be a Bears fan if Jim Harbaugh is the next coach?
Yes.
Okay.
But Caleb Williams is not going to be on the Bears because Justin Fields fucking rocks and fuck the Lions till I die, baby. Let's go. Eat dicks, Lions. You guys, the Lions this year are the Minnesota Vikings of last year.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, they have a great record. They're going to be good. It's like, shut the fuck up. We all know that they're bad.
Did you know that this past weekend is the first time that the Bears have won 2 games in a row in over 2 years?
I was going to say since 2010. No, I'm kidding. Like, hell yeah, baby.
2.5 years to
bear down, motherfuckers.
Games.
Bear down, motherfuckers. you're getting dragged behind the bandwagon right now.
Dude, I'm throwing out Bears stats. That's how...
No, it doesn't matter, dude. Colts lost this weekend to a backup quarterback. Ass.
I know.
Ass.
I know.
How do you feel about that? You heartbroken?
Well, I mean, the nice part about it is that both games were televised.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time in our area, when they're on the same channel, they broadcast the Bears. So I just split-screened them. Got to see both teams. You know? Good win for the Bears.
Go Bears. Yeah. Fucking go Bears is right.
Although I will say that this is the first time in 3 to potentially 4 weeks that the bet that I have placed on the Colts has not won.
What do you bet?
A Michael Pittman Jr. anytime touchdown. That was it.
Yes.
The last 3 weeks up until yesterday, I have done some sort of like either money line or spread plus this X person scoring a touchdown. Cash, cash, cash.
That's because the Colts suck. Go Bears, baby. Fucking bear down. Goddamn right. Speaking of the NFL, I would like to bring up something to you. Have you heard about the Super Bowl logo conspiracy theory?
Maybe.
Okay,
I'm not familiar with it.
You know how the logo for the Super Bowl is like LVII or whatever it is? Yeah. And then they have it like drawn out and it's with some colors on it or whatever? Mm-hmm. I want to say it's like the past 3 to 4. So that logo comes out mid-season.
Mm-hmm.
The past 3 to 4 Super Bowls have had the teams that match the colors of the Super Bowl logo.
So what are the colors this year?
Purple and red. So people are like Ravens 49ers or Ravens Chiefs for the Super Bowl.
I don't think that the Chiefs are that good.
People were saying Ravens 49ers was the main one.
I could get behind that.
Which I might like try and place a bet like future Super Bowls. Like who are going to be in the Super Bowl? Like Ravens 49ers.
Interesting. Okay.
So it's like it's been the past, because last year the Super Bowl logo was green and yellow. So it was green for the Eagles, yellow for the Chiefs.
Oh, so they're even getting into secondary colors.
Yeah.
That's where, okay.
Yeah. And then the one before that.
Purple, though? The Vikings?
Yeah. Well, the Vikings aren't going to fucking make it. But the one before that was orange. It was like orange and red. And it was Bengals, Chiefs.
Mm.
And it was like, everybody was like, oh, shit. Like, the past, like, 3 or 4 years have literally been, like, the same color every single time.
Interesting.
So, hey, Ravens 49ers Super Bowl this year. If it happens, you heard it here first, December 11th. December 11th, Ravens 49ers.
Go Niners.
Yeah, well, Kyle Hamilton.
Go Niners and Kyle Hamilton.
And Mike McGlinchey for the 49ers.
I think he's on Denver.
No, Mike McGlinchey's still on 49ers.
Are you sure about that?
Almost positive. Or there's some other guy that wears the up and down face mask on them.
I could have sworn he got traded to Denver.
Maybe he did. But if there is, then I'm rooting for the guy that has the up and down face mask.
Let's do a quick check here. Dates joined. Yeah, I'm like, he's on Denver.
Oh, he is? Oh, well then shout out to the dude that has the up and down face mask from the 49ers. Rooting for you. Because you look like Mike McGlinchey.
Fair enough. Did Notre Dame soccer win the national championship last night?
I'm not going to say anything because I'm going to jinx it. So we will not talk about it.
Okay.
We'll talk about it on the next podcast. Fingers crossed. Every time I talk about it, whatever I say doesn't happen.
Okay, that's what else we need to talk about. Shohei's contract.
Oh.
10 years, $700 million.
I don't understand contracts. This is what it comes down to. I don't understand, like, because, like, he deferred, like, all that money. So, like, I don't understand. Like, that doesn't hit the books.
Yeah, for a long time.
How the fuck? I don't get what that means.
It just means, like, so in the next 10 years, the Dodgers are going to pay him $700 million. They don't have to pay him $70 million a year. They just have to get to that total in 10 years.
So basically what they're saying is we're playing for now, we're going to get fucked later.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
He's going to be like the next Bobby Bonilla that's been out of the league for years and then just still collects a paycheck.
Yeah.
I mean, and not that Shohei.
His paycheck's going to be like $90 million. Yeah. It's going to be like, hey, this is sick. And the Dodgers are going to be playing with a bunch of AAA kids, and you're going to be like, fuck.
Now, I also saw, I didn't fact check this, but.
Also, by the way, before you say that, just thank fucking God he didn't go to the Cubs. I would have jumped off a bridge if he went to the Cubs. I'm not kidding. If he would have went to the Cubs, it's over. This podcast stops. I'm not doing it anymore. I would have been just depressed 24/7.
He really bolsters my case for being an NL West fan.
No, fuck that, dude. You can't root for a division. Especially the Dodgers, dude. The Dodgers, fuck the Dodgers.
Dude, go NL West. So what I was saying, I didn't fact check this, but I did see this, that his single contract is worth more than the combined free agency money spent from the White Sox in the last 30 years.
Yeah, 100%.
30 years?
We haven't given somebody a $100 million contract ever.
Yeah, but when you add all that up?
We haven't given somebody a $100 million contract ever.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that? Yeah. We've signed people for multiple years.
Right.
Haven't given him $100 million.
I understand that.
Shohei just got $700 million.
I know, but there's like, there's people constantly being signed in free agency. That's longer than I've been alive.
Dude, first of all, the White Sox don't sign fuck all on free agency because nobody wants to come play for the White Sox. So who are they going to sign? But yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
The 30-year thing really got me.
No. Like, I hear that and I'm like, checks out.
Out. I mean, it definitely makes sense. I'm just saying, that's a long period of time.
Yeah. And we've had nothing but the heartbreak and disappointment for
a long
29 years. We're going to skip 2005. So that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, I guess.
Ooh, you want to just go have a little picket sign outside Jerry Reinsdorf's? Just fucking
spend money.
Die.
Those are two signs.
Spend money, just die. Fucking sell the team. Just please, just fucking don't be the owner anymore. That's my sign. Just please don't be the owner anymore. I don't care what happens. If you sell it or if you die, don't care. Just fucking stop being the owner.
I also saw a funny tweet that Shohei could buy the White Sox.
Yes, dude. I'm so down. Player coach, Michael Jordan-esque. You know what I'm saying? How about that? I'm down. Only the GOATs can do it. I'll take Shohei on the White Sox.
Right. I don't have anything else sports-wise.
I don't think I do either.
So let's actually, no. I want to save your story. I'll tell my story real quick.
Okay.
Past weekend. This is my recommendation to anyone listening to do funny things outside of your comfort zone.
Okay.
It brings some hilarity to life.
Okay.
Such as walking around a public Christmas market in Lederhosen.
Yes.
People...
It's a Kris Kringle market.
A lot of people took pictures, whether that was with us or just of us. And was it very uncomfortable at first walking in? Yes. But after about, like, I don't know, 2 minutes.
Couple beers deep.
No, I mean, like, maybe half or a quarter beer.
Two beers deep.
Didn't even think about it. It was a blast. So funny. So whenever you have the chance to do random things outside of your comfort zone...
Like, walking around a Kris Kringle market in a Lederhosen, like, you guys should have just been, like, ripping everybody else. Like, oh, look at your normal clothes over here.
I know.
Living my life here, dog. Like, I'm in the correct garb. You guys are not.
And the best part about it, too, is that we piled out of...
A Sprinter van?
No. We had many people for the car that we were already in, so we kind of looked like a clown car.
Yes. There needs to be some music in the background, like a dan-dan-dan-dan.
Well, the thing is, too, driving there, we had the windows, like, partially down, and we're listening to authentic German music.
Let's go. Oh, hell yeah.
So.
We listened to a little Du Hast.
We did not hear Du Hast or 99 Red Balloons, but some of the other ones, one in particular, couldn't tell you the name of it, was an absolute banger.
Fucking Zabanga, if you will. I'm down. A Lederhosen that can get the people going.
And I'm telling you, mine was definitely not authentic, but it was
freaking... I don't know, dude. I saw the Amazon order, authentic Bavarian guy. It's authentic.
I'll tell you what, dude. That thing was like Under Armour. Breathable.
Yeah. You need to be rocking that like on a daily basis. You should rock that to a Notre Dame game next year.
I have. So,
and then not we'll me get personally. You, dude. I'll buy you. If you rock that to, I'll make this deal right now. If you buy that, if you wear that to a Notre Dame game, I will buy you a green fedora. And then like some green shoes and green socks. So you can be like a little German Notre Dame guy.
Jake's worn his to a game before.
Yeah, come on.
I could
just coordinate it with Jake and I'll buy the rest.
I could probably get behind that. There's a business deal too.
Good handshake. You're doing it.
There's a business deal around Lederhosen that we came up with too, but
we're gonna keep that one secret. We don't want anyone to steal our Lederhosen idea.
I was not the one that thought of this. So.
We don't want anyone to steal our Lederhosen idea. We can't have that. It's top secret, dude.
That's what I got.
Alright. I got a lot. Okay. So I got a lot of things to talk about, most of which revolve around traveling.
Okay.
So I'm gonna start with the one thing that doesn't revolve around traveling.
Okay.
I'm gonna start saying something, like a phrase. It's European for sure, but I love it. And it's just pack it in. And it just means like, if you're like, come on, man, instead of saying come on, man, like fucking pack it in, dude. Fucking Michael, pack it in. Oh, you pack it in, mate. Just, hey, pack it in.
So
like all right, Dutton. Dutton's acting up. Pack it in, Dutton. Hey, Dutton, pack it in.
Can you say it like to a team?
Yeah, like fucking guys, pack it in. Like you guys are acting like dickheads. Like you guys are playing horrible out there. Fucking pack it in, guys.
Okay.
Just fucking pack it in, dude.
I mean, I can get behind it. It doesn't really make sense to me.
Neither. It doesn't. It doesn't make any sense. But pack it in means like get in order, I guess.
Okay.
It's like fucking pack it in. You guys are acting wild out there. Pack it in.
All right.
And it's great. If you hear it in a British accent, it's great.
Oi.
Oi, pack it in, mate.
Bruv.
Pack it in. Pack it in, you dicks.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm fucking all about it.
Okay.
All right. Next couple things have to do with traveling. First of all, TSA, figure it out. And I have figured out what the problem is. Is that every TSA line is different.
Oh, yeah.
Take off your shoes. Take everything out of your bag. Don't take everything out of your bag. Take your sweatshirt off. Don't take your sweatshirt off. Everything TSA should be universally the same no matter where the fuck you go.
Dude, you have pre. This isn't a problem anymore.
Yeah, shouldn't have been. Didn't use it.
Oh, that's on you.
Nah. Whoops. Deflect blame to somebody else sitting behind you
regardless,
at the moment.
I have come to the conclusion.
But regardless of TSA pre or not, the fuck, if you got to go through TSA, everything should be the same no matter where you go.
Yeah. I mean, it's more of a treat when you get to the ones that, like, the guys don't care. And they're like, yeah, just leave everything in your bag.
Yeah, but then, like, half the time I'm taking half my shit off anyways. And then, like, midway me taking everything off, they're like, oh, you don't have to take your shoes off. I'm like, well, I'm already one shoe down. So, yeah. Like, I'm taking the other one off.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, fuck, I got to put my shoes back on. There's nothing more stressful than, like, if it's a busy TSA line.
Oh, I know.
And you got to get your shit from the little bin. And you're like, oh, shit, dude, put my shoes on. Put my fucking watch back on.
See,
it's the worst.
I just do like the one big bear hug grab of everything and then walk away.
you're putting it on somewhere else?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that. Kind of depends on what I have to get.
Yeah. Even when there's more things than I can carry, I just find a way to
hit.
Just do one of these until I get out of there.
It's fair. All right. Okay, so the other one. I was at the airport this morning. Had to take a poop. I don't like pooping in public. It's just not my thing. You lit up when I said that.
I have a pooping airport story.
Okay, well, you can tell yours after mine. The guy in the stall next to me was on speakerphone with somebody.
Oh, nice.
What? What were they talking about? I have no clue, dude. They're speaking a different language.
Oh, well.
But I was like, dude, get this guy the fuck out of here. If you're taking a shit in an airport on speakerphone talking to somebody, fucking get out of my life, dude. I don't want to see you ever again. That's an insane move.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe answering a call.
He flushed his AirPods.
No. He was there before I got there and was also there after I left.
Talking business while doing business.
It was a woman on the phone. I think it was like his mom.
Oh.
Is how I could kind of. But like, it's a quiet bathroom. And this dude's just like talking loudly into the phone. I'm like, dude, what the fuck? Could you imagine? What's the thought process behind that?
That dude is just me in a different life. He's doing things that make him uncomfortable.
Dude, shut up. There's a difference between going to a Christmas market with a lederhosen on and talking on speakerphone in the public bathroom in an airport.
Real quick, I'll tell you my airport pooping story. I don't know how I came across this on TikTok, but I watched a multi-part video about the research that this guy did. And the Delta terminal in the Atlanta airport, specifically the men's bathroom, like he pointed it out exactly, like the bathroom, not necessarily the toilet, but is the most pooped in toilet in the world. And nice. The last time that I was in the Atlanta airport, no, I flew Delta, and I just took a stroll through that bathroom to say that I saw it.
Did you give like a
yeah,
like a little kiss to the heavens to be like pay my respect to the pooped in toilet?
Yeah, yeah. World record breaking toilet.
Do you think toilets like being pooped in? If you had to give the toilet a personality. Well, yeah. Are they trying to be like poop in me or not poop in me?
Because they're like the food and sausage party, like where food is meant to get eaten.
Yeah, okay. So they are like toilets, yes, want to be, dude.
You know.
You think all the other toilets are like, dude, how the fuck do people keep shitting in you?
Yeah. That guy's a superstar.
That guy's the hottest dude on the block at this moment, you know? For sure. Are all toilets gay? Are you thinking of a toilet as a dude or a girl?
Neither. It's a toilet.
But if you're giving them like sausage party, like if you're giving them a...
They're non-binary.
I thought of them as dudes.
I don't like that.
A bunch of gay toilets out here, you know? But shout out to that toilet getting pooped in a lot.
Delta Terminal, Atlanta Airport. Check it out.
Go pooping it. Go pooping it if you're there.
Next time you're going to Georgia.
Is there a specific toilet?
Well, I don't remember.
Like, how many stalls are there? Like, is there one that's like this one?
There's quite a few. Like I said, I just strolled through there to...
I would like to see the math behind this.
I'll see if I can find it.
Okay.
It's been a minute since I've watched it.
I normally watch it every week, but I missed a week. All right. My final story. I think I experienced the worst travel day of all time yesterday.
Yeah?
I'm not kidding.
Okay.
Let me walk you through my day yesterday. So, we were supposed to leave. We were in Virginia. We had a connecting flight in Charlotte.
Yep.
To get back to South Bend.
Mm-hmm.
We were supposed to leave Virginia at 6 o'clock. Get to Charlotte, 7 o'clock. Flight from Charlotte to... South Bend was going to leave at 9. So we had like an hour or hour and a half, 2 hour layover.
Yeah. That's a prime layover time.
Prime, right? In the morning yesterday, there were tornado warnings.
I was about to ask, why were you delayed?
So you'll figure that out later in the story.
Okay.
Tornado warnings in Virginia and Charlotte, like all the way up the East Coast was like bad weather.
Okay.
So we were sitting there being like, hey, let's keep checking this up until we have to leave because the place that we were staying at was about an hour away from the airport. So we were like, we'll keep checking and see if it gets delayed.
We're not actually going to leave unless we need to leave.
Yeah. Doesn't get delayed. So we leave. We get there like I said, flight leaves at 6. We get there about 4:30. Nobody at security. We walk right through TSA. We get to our gate. We're like, all right, it's like 4:45. Like, legit, we got through it in like 2 minutes. It's 4:45. We're like, all right, we're going to stop at the bar, have a beer. We don't get 2 sips into this beer. Flight gets delayed. We're like, you got to be fucking kidding me. We're like, all right, it's 45-minute delay. We're leaving at 6:45. We're still going to make our next flight. All good. We're supposed to depart at 6:45, which means we have to board at like 6:20.
Mm-hmm.
The plane that we were supposed to go on to fly from Norfolk to Charlotte got into Norfolk at 6:55. So we're supposed to leave at 6:45. That plane didn't even land until 6:55.
Mm-hmm.
So we're already like, all right, we're fucked. Like, we're screwed immediately. Gets there. We finally board. We leave. We learn on the plane that it's a mechanical error. Not even have anything to do with the weather. They're like, it's a mechanical error. The flight from Virginia to Charlotte is like legit like 50 minutes. It's up and down.
Yeah.
For 30 minutes of this flight, the fucking flight attendant, and I get it that it's her job, is trying to sell us on, you can get 60,000 miles on this credit card if you sign up right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Shut the fuck up, lady. I'm pissed. I'm an hour and a half late already. Shut the fuck up. Stop trying to sell me on a goddamn credit card. I don't give a fuck. Just shut up. I want to watch the movie that I'm watching in peace and not have to hear your voice over the fucking intercom talking about this goddamn credit card. She's legit for 30 minutes. Like, she came on twice. She came on twice in a 55-minute flight. She was on there twice talking about it. I was like, all right, shut up. So we finally land in Charlotte. Our flight is supposed to leave Charlotte at 9:05.
Mm-hmm.
We land like 8:30. Charlotte is a huge airport.
Oh, I know.
Our flight is supposed to get in at gate E30. Our next flight is supposed to leave at gate E32. Literally next to each other.
That's clutch.
So we land, it's 8:30. We're like, fuck, we can still make this next flight. Some plane is parked at E30. So we are sitting there waiting like 10, 15 minutes for this plane to fucking leave. It finally leaves. We pull up. We park. We get our bags, and we, like, it's the only time that I have ever, like, I hate people who get up, like, immediately as that thing. It's the only time I've ever done that in my entire life. I was fucking bodying people out of the way. We run to the gate, and they're like, sorry, like, you missed your flight. We can see the plane.
Yeah.
Like, the door is still attached. They have just shut the door to get on to, like, the terminal.
Yep.
We're like, it's all of 5 minutes that we miss this plane by. So, like, all right, fuck. Like, this sucks immediately. And, like, South Bend is a small airport, so it's not like Chicago where there's, like, multiple flights going in.
Right.
So then, this fucking absolute heifer of a lady. I'll use a better term than what I was going to call her, heifer. Stands in front of us to talk to the gate agent. Right there. Because we're sitting there being like, hey, we just missed our flight because you guys fucked up. This lady turns to my girlfriend and says, oh, yeah, I missed the flight because I was sitting down at the end of the terminal because I don't like sitting next to people because it makes me uncomfortable, and I didn't hear them call that we were boarding.
You're not telling me that they let this lady on?
No, but she comes up in front of us and is, like, demanding a hotel, like, compensation, a, like, rebook of a flight, like, whatever. So we're standing, like, right outside the gate with the gate agent. And down the terminal, there is, like, a, like, customer, like, a kiosk thing. And this lady's, like, this big lady in front of us is, like, hey, like, no, just stay here. Like, that's a super long line. Like, they'll fix it here. We're like, all right, whatever. She, lady in front of us, gets a ticket and a hotel voucher. The ticket is for a 9 a.m. flight the day that we're recording this.
Mm-hmm.
And a hotel voucher or whatever. We get up there. We explain to them what happened. We have more of a justification of a story
right.
than what this fucking bitch just said. And we get, like, all the way through it, they're like, yeah, sorry. Like, the 9 a.m. flight only has one seat open. The next flight to South Bend is at 9 p.m. tomorrow. And we're like, yeah, we're not doing that. Like, what do you have to Chicago? And they're like, oh, like, we don't have anything today, but we have, like, a 7 a.m. flight to Chicago tomorrow. And we're like, all right, like, fine. Like, we'll fucking take it. The gate agent is literally booking our flight. And some manager or supervisor comes over and he's like, yeah, sorry, you guys have to go to, like, the other line. So after we wait 15 minutes at the gate to try and get rebooked for our flight, like, at literally the final process, they were like, nah, fuck you guys, go somewhere else. So immediately, like, we're fucking pissed. So we gotta go stand in another line. So we, again, at the gate, we were trying to book a 7 a.m. flight to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the earliest time we could get back to anywhere relatively close to where we get there. We stand in this other line, maybe 10 minutes, maybe. Get up to the gate, we explain everything that just happened. Lady has given us pretty much the exact same thing that they just gave us. We were like, hey, we were told that we could get on the 7 a.m. flight. She's like, no, sorry, it's already booked. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean? Like, we just literally, like, 5-10 minutes ago, they said that they had two seats on there.
Yeah.
Like, no, sorry, we don't have that. They were like, the earliest we can get you back to where you're supposed to be going is a flight that leaves Charlotte at 9 p.m. We're like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, we were supposed to leave at 9 p.m. the day before. We're going to be a whole 24 hours delayed.
Yeah.
We're like, all right, fuck, whatever. They're like, we can put you on standby for the 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. flights, though. Like, we'll put you on standby. If anybody misses it, you guys will get the seats. We're like, all right, sounds good. So we're like, fine. Like, just give us, like, a hotel voucher and, like, a meal voucher, whatever. So they give us both. We go get some dinner, Panda Express, right down there. We're like, all right, let's go eat it back at the hotel. Sounds good. Go down there. We're waiting for the shuttle. This time, it's probably like 10, 12, 10, 15. Didn't know it at the time. Now, knew it in hindsight that it runs every 30 minutes. So, mind you, that we have seen, we're staying at the Sheraton. We've seen 5 to 6 Hilton vans come,
mm-hmm.
No Sheridan vans. So I'm like, all right, fuck this, dude. Like, we're taking a cab. Like, this day's been long enough as it is. I'm done dealing with this shit. Like, let's just take a cab. I'll pay for it. Like, I don't give a fuck.
Why didn't you call an Uber?
Because the cab line was, like, legit. Like, you know how there's, like, the division in the roads?
Yeah.
It's, like, right over there. And there's 15 cabs. And, like, if you looked it up, it was basically the same price for either. So I was like, I don't want to wait for an Uber to, like, come down here, try and find us. Like, I know they know where we're going.
Right.
Like, we'll just leave. So we go get a cab. We take the cab back to the Sheraton. It's, like, legit, like, a mile and a half away. It's right next to the airport. I'm sitting behind the driver.
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend is sitting in the right-hand seat behind the driver, mm-hmm. or, like, the right back seat. We get out, pulls up to the Sheraton. We get out. We both get out on the right-hand side. I pay for the Uber. We get our bags. We walk inside. We have a hotel voucher. We get right up to the counter. Like, nobody in front of us. They're like, oh, like, we just need, like, a credit card to put on file. Reach for my wallet. Don't have my wallet. I somehow paid for the taxi and left my wallet in the taxi.
I was going to say, you just paid for it.
I don't know how the fuck it happened. I have no fucking clue. Legit no idea how it happened.
Did you pay for it while you were still sitting?
Yes.
Oh, see, there's your problem.
I don't know if I missed, like, I was wearing a sweatshirt, so I don't know if I missed, like, the front pouch, or I, like, put it in, like, my pocket and it fell out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what happened to my wallet. But we get there, and I'm like, oh, fuck, dude. Like, I don't have my wallet. So this is, like, 10:30. So I call. We took a green Toyota RAV4.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing that we know. So the next 2 hours proceed literally to be the worst 2 hours of my life. So I'm sitting there being like, dude, I am stuck in Charlotte. I have no wallet, no ID. I don't know if I can get on the plane tomorrow. Like, we might have to rent the car and drive home. 11 hours to drive home.
Just to let you know, you can get on a
plane. I know. Trust me. We figured that out later. Our Lyft driver fucking told us. But I knew that. But it was just like a bunch of... I didn't want to jump through all the hoops and all that shit. So, like I said, we don't remember, like, the... Like, obviously, like, we don't remember, like, the name of the driver, the fucking, the number on the cab. Like, we just got into a cab and fucking left. So, I call the cab company, and I'm like, hey, I left my wallet in the back of one of your cabs. They just dropped me off. They took me from the airport to the Sheraton. I just left my wallet in the back of one of those cabs. Is there any way that you can, like, get a hold of it? They're like, oh, like, do you know the number of the cab? I was like, no, I don't. Like, all right, we'll send a text out to all of our drivers. All of our drivers will get back to you in like 5 minutes. All right. I don't hear anything. I'm like, all right, I call them back. I'm like, hey, have you heard anything from any of your drivers? They're like, no, sorry, we haven't. I'm like, okay, like, I will pay whatever it like takes. Like, if like money is like something that's like driving you guys, like, I'll give you guys like a high tip to like bring it back. Like, I don't know what else I can do. Like, you know, I really need my wallet. So I'm like freaking out at this point. And I'm like, we're sitting at the hotel and I'm like, what the fuck can I do? So the only thing that I could think about at this time was I'm going to call an Uber and I'm going to go back to the airport and I'm going to sit outside in the taxi lane until this fucking guy comes back. Like, I remember what he looks like. I was like, I just don't know, like, it's a green taxi. It's the only green taxi in Charlotte. I was like, I know it's one of these. I know it's a RAV4. Like, I'm just going to sit there until he fucking comes back. Because I was like, I'm not going to sit at the hotel. Like, that's going to do fucking nothing.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to Uber back to the airport. I was like, I'm going to fucking get back there. I'm going to see what happens. So my girlfriend and I Uber back to the airport. Which is where we were talking to the guy that was like, no, you can get on the plane. Like, this dude was...
It just takes you a lot longer.
Yeah.
You got to get there way, way early.
So, like I said, we get dropped off at our hotel at 10:30. We get back to the airport at probably like 11, 11:15. And I'm just like, I'm just going to sit here. Like, I'm literally going to sit here until either A, they call me, or B, I see this fucking taxi driver again. My girlfriend, great idea, which is in hindsight a wild move, because I would have thought about it if I was by myself, but I would have never thought it was worked. She calls the hotel and is like, hey, like, I have a problem. Like, are you at the front desk right now? And whoever picked up the phone was like, no, I'm not. Like, we can transfer you over there. They transfer us over there. And to be fair, like, right as it happened, like, the people working the front desk, like, saw me be like, oh, fuck, dude. Like, I left my wallet in that car. So they knew. They looked up, like, the taxi cab and everything like that. So they knew about it. So we get transferred over to the front desk. And she explains to them. She's like, I need you to pull the security footage and tell me the number of the cab that we were in. In my head, I'm like, there's 0% chance that they're like, yeah, don't worry about it. We'll pull the fucking security footage. You're, like,
living, like, a real-life crime movie
right now. Like, I'm sitting there. I'm like, 0% chance that they pull the security footage. No shot. In the meantime, I've called this cab company so many goddamn times that A, they know me by name. They know my number. So that every time I answered, they'd be like, hey, Mr. Cannon. I was like, fuck, dude.
they probably haven't had a call in years.
They would put me on hold the second I would call. Like, it would ring, they would answer, and then immediately put me on hold. Like, I would hear the music afterwards. I was like, motherfucker, they hate me. I was like, I know that they hate me. So we get the... Or she gets the brilliant idea of calling the hotel. Hotel's like, yeah, like, I just have to, like, ask, like, so-and-so, like, basically, like, their manager, like, let me see what I can do. And eventually, they're like, hey, yeah, like, we can pull the security footage for you. And I'm like, holy shit, like, this actually might work.
Yeah.
And they pull the security footage, and she gets put on hold for, like, 15 minutes. So we're like, oh, shit, like, this isn't going to work. Like, it's not going to happen. So eventually, after being on hold for, like, 15 minutes, she's like, I'm just going to hang up and call him back. So she hangs up, calls him back. They're like, oh, Sarah, like we were just talking to you, like we pulled the security footage. We see you guys getting out of the cab. We just can't read the cab number. And we're like, dude, you've got to be fucking kidding me.
Yeah, of course.
Like this thing's like, and I'm looking at all like the same company's cabs. I'm like, these are fucking huge numbers right on like the front of their cab. My girlfriend's like, hey, like, is there any way you could look at like the back of the cab? Like, could you see the front of the cab? Like, is there any time like where they're pulling up where you can see it? And they're like, all right, hold on, like, let us check. So like I said, the beginning of this starts off getting dropped off at our hotel at 10:30.
Right.
At this point, it's like 11:30, 11:45. Eventually, they get back to her, and they're like, you are in cab 1609. And she comes sprinting out of the airport. Like, I'm sitting outside where this thing is. She comes flying towards me. She's like, 1609, 1609. I immediately call the cab company. I'm like, hey, like, it's me. Like, you've talked to me 15 times already tonight. You know, I was like, I figured out what cab I was in. I was in cab 1609. And they're like, oh, okay, sounds good. And it was very funny. The guy was like, how did you figure that out? Like, literally asked me. He was like, how did you figure that out? And we were like, I had to be like, we pulled the security footage at the hotel. And he was like, ah, nice. And I was like, thanks. And so he's like, at this point, it's like 11:45. And he's like, all right, like, we are going to, I'm going to text that driver in particular. I'll give you a call in 10 minutes. I'm like, all right, sounds good. Again, we're sitting at the airport right now. And so I tell my girlfriend, I'm like, hey, like, we might as well take another cab back to our hotel, because if that guy does have my wallet, like, he's going to bring it to the hotel. He's not going to bring it to the airport. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not making him come back here. It's like, we might as well take one there and just see what the fuck happens. So we take one back. Again, it takes like 5 minutes because we're right next to the airport. I get off that call at like 11:40, 11:45. I wait 15 minutes. I hear nothing back from them. So I call them back again. Get put on hold. Obviously. First thing that happens. Like, the guy doesn't even say hello. He just answers the phone, puts me on hold. And he's like, the cab driver of 1609 is on a ride right now. He'll look for your wallet when you're like, yeah, when he's done.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, please, like, just tell him, please, like, look under like all the seats, everything like that, like the front seat, the back seat, like, I know it's in the car because I paid for the cab, and like, we pulled the security footage and I didn't drop it on the ground, so like, I know it's in the car. So just like, tell him to look like under the mats, like under the seats, like, I know it's in there. And he's like, oh, okay, yeah, I will. And he's like, I'll give you a call back in like a couple minutes. And this time he doesn't hang up on me, he just puts me on hold. So I'm sitting in the lobby of the hotel at this point, and I'm like, all right, like, I'm on speakerphone, I'm on mute. I was like, I told my girlfriend, I was like, let's just go up back up to the room, like, I just want to lay down, like, I am absolutely fucking exhausted from the day that I've had.
Yeah.
We're like in the elevator, and he, like, I hear the guy come back. He's like, hello. And I like put off mute. I'm like, hello. And he's like, hey, like, the cab driver 1609 just called. He has your wallet. And I was like, holy fucking shit,
let's
dude.
Let's go.
I was like, how the fuck has this worked? And so he's like, yeah, the cab driver will call you when he's on his way back. So he calls me like legit, like a minute later. And he's like, oh, like, you know how lucky you are? I was like, yeah, I fucking know how lucky I am. There, you see all the shit I just went through?
You should have gone and bought a lottery ticket.
I did.
Nice.
I bought a lottery ticket this morning, by the way. So if I win the lottery tonight, fucking, I'm ready to rock.
You're giving a raise to 1609.
Yeah, 1609 gets like $1 million easily. But I was like, he calls me and he's like, dude, how lucky you are? I was like, yeah, trust me, I fucking know. And he's like, I've had 10 rides since you got out of the car. And he's like, nobody took it. He was like, it was wedged like perfectly under the front right seat that like nobody saw it. And I like, nothing was gone from my wallet right, because that's where the chip was. It was under the passenger seat, was where the like the card reader was. So when I paid for it,
oh,
I must have like missed my like front pocket and like thrown it under the front seat. Yeah, and I slid out the right hand side. So I must have like thrown it. I must have missed my like front pouch and like basically like thrown it into the front seat. And he was like, nobody took anything. Or he was like, it's still there. Yeah. And so I checked it. Nobody took anything. I was like checking my bank account every like 5 minutes being like, has anybody bought anything? No money had been spent. I was like, how the fuck did that work out? So at this point, it's legit like 12:30. So for 2 hours, I was like, this is the fucking worst thing I've ever done in my entire life.
Yeah.
So then to wrap this back up, to go from like the worst travel day into like better luck, it's 12:30. I finally get my wallet back. We still have not eaten our food from when we got it at like 10 o'clock. We're finally back in our hotel and we're eating cold Panda Express.
Nice.
And it's like 12:45 in the morning. And I'm like, and we were debating if we should get up and try to get on standby for this next flight.
Yeah.
Because like I said, it's like 1 o'clock.
Right.
And the lady told us, Charlotte, she was like, Charlotte's a huge airport. She was like, if you're going to try to get on standby, I recommend you get there 2 hours early to get through TSA and everything. Mm-hmm. So we're being there being like, all right, if we try to get on standby, this flight boards at 8:50. So we have to get there by like 6:50. We're like, literally, we're having the conversation. Like, do we even want to wake up in the morning? Like, it's 1 a.m. We're fucking exhausted. Like, there's a good chance that, like, we don't even get on this flight tomorrow. Like, we might just be at the airport for legit 12 hours. Because yeah. If we don't get on that flight, there's a slim to no chance we get on the 2 o'clock flight and we have to leave at 9 p.m. So right. We're going to get there at fucking 6:50 and leave at 9.
And, yeah, I mean, there's worse airports to be stuck in. Sure. Charlotte's not terrible.
Sure. But we're sitting there being like, should we even do this? Yeah. And, like, we had this conversation. Like, we were 50-50. And I told my girlfriend, I was like, I know for a fact that if we don't go, that there are going to be seats open on that flight.
Yeah, 100%.
I was like, 100%, there's going to be seats open on that flight. I was like, I'd rather be there and them tell me that there's not seats than not be there and somehow find out that, like, the standby got on or whatever. So I was like, we're going to go in the morning.
Yeah.
So we get, like, 5 hours of sleep. We get up, we get there, and the night before when we got in, again, we were supposed to hit a connecting flight, so we had a checked bag. So we had asked the gate agent or like the baggage claim agent. We were like, "Hey, we missed our flight. Blah blah blah." This was like the night before. We're like, you know, what are we gonna do? We're on this flight now at 9 p.m. the next day. They were like, "Oh yeah, your bag is at Charlotte.
Yeah,
it'll be here. We'll put it on your 9 p.m. flight the next day." All right, sounds good. So we walk into the Charlotte airport. 6:50 in the morning today as we're recording this, and we're like trying to figure out where to go because everything's under construction. So like we're trying to look at where to go, and some dude comes up to us who like looks like a manager of the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's in like nicely dressed. He's like, "Oh, like, are you guys lost? Like, what can I do for you?" We're like, "Yeah, like, you know, we're just looking like where to go for everything." He's like, "Oh, go right over here." We're like, "All right, sounds good." And I tell my girlfriend, I'm like, "Hey, ask him about our bag. Like, what should we do about that?" And so she asked him. She's like, "Hey, like, we have seats on the 9 o'clock flight. We're on standby for this 9 a.m. flight. Like, is our bag going to be on the 9 a.m. flight or is our bag going to be on the 9 p.m. flight? Because sometimes they just go like first available. It'll get to where you're going and then you'll pick it up whenever." And he's like, "Yeah, like, sorry, I don't really know about that. Like, go ask like one of like the customer service agents." So we're like, "All right, fine, like, whatever." So we go up to, like, the American customer service thing, and we're like, "Hey," explain the whole situation. They're like, "Yeah, it'll be on, like, the 9 p.m. flight. Like, you don't have to do anything. It's, like, already checked, blah, 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 all this stuff." And we're like, "Okay, like, we're just making sure because, like, we have, like, the standby tickets. Like, if we make the standby, is it going to be on the 9 a.m. flight?" She's like, "Let me see your boarding passes." We, like, hand her, like, the one from yesterday, the one from today, the one for standby. So she has like three of our boarding passes. And she's like, "Ah, okay, yeah, all right. So you guys don't need any of these, right?" And we're like, "What are you talking about?" Like, my girlfriend's like, "No, I need the one on like your left hand. Like, that's our one for like tonight. Like, we need that one." And she's like, no, you're good. You're good. She's like, "No, like, we have to have that one. Like, we're still got to go through TSA. Like, that's the flight that we're getting on." And she's like, "Oh, no, don't worry about it. Like, I booked you guys on the 9 a.m. flight this morning." And we're like, "How the fuck did you do that? We were told that was all booked." And she's like, no, I got you guys."
Did you fly first class?
No. But we're like, so she's like, "Hey, listen, like, I got you guys on this 9 a.m. flight this morning. she was like, but you have to like go see like the gate agent for your seat. Like, I can't guarantee you guys are sitting together. Like, all right, like that's fine. Like, as long as we're on the 9 a.m. flight, like 12 hours before when we were supposed to fly out, we'll take it. 12 hours after the original one, though. Yeah. So meet in the middle. So we're like, all right, fine. Like, we'll figure it out. Get to our gate. Eventually, they give us our seats. We end up sitting next to each other in the exit row. So we got the leg room, too. So we're kicking back on this flight.
Okay.
But it was like, we were thinking to ourselves, we finally get to South Bend. We're like, there's no shot that our bag gets through all this fucking chaos that just happened. Like, no shot that it gets put on this plane. Because, like, we got switched to it last minute. Like, it's going to be on that fucking 9 p.m. tonight. We're going to, like, you know, have to come pick it up. So, like, we're waiting at the baggage claim. I mean, we're waiting for, like, you know, 10 minutes or whatever. And I'm like, I tell my girlfriend, I'm like, all right, just go to the, like, the American Airlines people and just see, like, when our bag is supposed to get in here. I'll stay here in case it does. 2 minutes in, our bag comes in. We were like, how the fuck did all this work out today, baby? Let's go. It was, like, the worst travel day of all time into, like, maybe the greatest all things lined up perfectly travel day I've ever had in my entire life.
Just a comeback story.
Oh, dude. I've never shit my pants harder than last night. When I thought I lost my wallet, and somehow finding it is insane.
Yeah.
The fact that we were able to pull security footage from the hotel to get the cab number, to get the fucking guy's name, is insane.
I have a friend who lost his wallet in a state that he didn't live in, and then had to fly home without it. Never found it.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's how I know that it's possible to get on a flight without a wallet.
Yeah, we were full, like, we had car reservation places, like, on speed dial. We were like, all right, we're going to have to fucking rent the car and drive it home. It was a fucking brutal day, dude.
You wouldn't have even had an ID to be able to drive.
My girlfriend would have.
All 11 hours.
Got to do what you got to do sometimes. Sheesh. It was also funny, in the middle of that, we were sitting at the hotel, like, it was like 11:45. It was like after we got back. So it was like, I was sitting there, I was like, dude, I need a fucking beer. And I was like, oh, let's go to the hotel lobby. And then we were like halfway walking up. My girlfriend was like, you don't have an ID. Yep. Like, they might not serve you. I was like, fuck, dude. I was like, so, I hate all of this.
Here's a pro tip for you in the future. Take a picture of your ID. Doesn't work everywhere, but there have been multiple times where Sierra has forgotten her wallet at a place, and I've pulled up a picture of her ID, and they've accepted that.
Hey, fair enough.
Pro tip for you.
And know your cab number.
Yeah, know your cab number. Or also just don't fucking lose your shit in a cab after you pay for said cab.
There you go.
That'd probably be my number one, to be honest with you.
Well, with all that being said, that is where we are wrapping up Shed Some Light episode 250. Hope everyone has a better week.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you all the next time that we record. Go Irish. And in the meantime,
keep them cold.
Keep them cold, everyone.